Madhyan Leela, continuing, Chapter 9, G, Stealing Flowers, Pushpa Charya Leela. Showing her shyness, resistance, and concealment upon first meeting Krishna at Radhakund, Radhika pretends to ignore her beloved Priyatam and obstinately walks away to pick some flowers. Krishna stands before Radha, extending his arms to block her path. Wait, where are you going? Externally, Radha shows Krishna a mood of angry resistance, vamata. But internally, she is very pleased. Radha's exotic, unhappy eyes mix with the redness of anger and then swell with tears. Due to the force of Radha's love, her lips begin to tremble. Her eyebrows arch, and a slight smile arises to reveal the actual desire in her heart. She's happy. This is the famous Kila Kinchit Bhav of Radharani. Kincha means a little. Kincha, like Niskinchan. Kincha means a little of many emotions. Seven different emotions combining together in a beautiful expression of unbelievably divine love. Kila Kinchit Bhav. Kincha means a small amount. Upon seeing this amazing loving expression, intense sentiments of pure love, Kila Kinchit Bhav, Shyam relishes so much happiness a million times more than when he directly meets and enjoys with Radha. Radha nonchalantly strolls up to a punaga tree, stretches her lovely arms above her head to pick some flowers on the branches. This pose of Radha's actually reveals her heart's desires to be embraced. Seeing Radha like this pierces Krishna's heart, and the punaga tree becomes affected by the soft touch of Radha's hand. And Krishna is also affected. The flowers start to blossom with joy, and Krishna's body shivers in horripilation when he sees Radha with her arms extended above her head. Radha Madhav previously had studied the Kama Sutras from the famous Tarunya Bhatta, who is the allegorical acharya of blooming youth. Although both of these students, Radha Madhav, amassed amazing talents, still Krishna wishes to debate with his fellow student of the Kama Shastras, Radha. This should not sound strange, however, because in this particular field of knowledge, students even argue with their gurus. So what is so amazing about debates amongst fellow classmates? They're very common. Krishna says commandingly to Radha, "Who is picking my flowers?" Radha replies, "No one." "Then who are you?" "Don't you know?" "No." Radha, "Then take leave." go from here. Krishna, I am a honeybee, so where shall I go? Radha, just fly away to your lady bee. Krishna, hey, you are my lady bee. Radha, how is that possible? Krishna, surely you are a honeybee because your heart craves the flower. Krishna is speaking this to Radha. Oh, Radha, surely you are that honeybee because I know your heart craves the flower. You are a most beautiful, chaste, and exalted girl. So why are you stealing flowers from the punaga tree? Inner meaning, Krishna is saying, Radha, why are you stealing the minds of men? Because punaga is the also masculine word describing this tree. This must be your cleverness, Priya. Discarding your shyness, now you are suddenly roaming freely in these forests. Hey, beautiful girl. Hey, Sundari. If you say, this forest belongs to everyone, therefore, we have equal rights to come here. We have come to this forest to worship Mitra, which of course has two meanings. One, Suryadev, the sun planet, or a friend. If you say this, Radha, then I will reply. The blooming punaga tree will not touch the malati, lata, even though they have destroyed all of its flowers. Besides that, I think that by repeatedly uttering syllables beginning with pa, pa, such as punaga, puja, pushpa, you said you've come to this punaga tree to collect flowers for puja, to collect pushpa for puja. By doing that, speaking those words, pa, pu, pu, punaga, puja, and pushpa, you are puckering your lips, and it seems that you're indicating to me that you want a kiss, and you're actually begging me to make love to you. Ho-ho! I understand the real meaning of your words. Punaga, pushpa, puja. Actually, you're saying, what are you saying? That this forest is not the house of my husband, Abhimanyu. Although we are eager to associate with you, Kishori, why are you ignoring us? Oh, Sumukhi, Radhika, you are bewildered and do not understand what is happening. Listen, this punaga, which also can mean the topmost man, is sometimes united with the malati latas, the flowering creepers, or the gopis, and sometimes not. Everything depends on the favorable winds, which sometimes blow the vines around the tree. Hey, Sundari, everyone knows that Kandarparaj is the owner of this forest, and he has appointed me to protect it. But you are blatantly taunting the forest ranger of Kandarpa by stealing the beauty of the forest with the golden jugs of your youth. Thus, just to teach you a lesson, I will plunder those youthful jugs and vanquish your pride. And, Radhika, if you say, hey, forest ranger, I humbly pray to you to please allow us to pick the flowers, then I will reply, how is that possible, since I am a brahmachari and never speak with women? besides that, how can any boy keep his patience if he meets a beautiful young girl in a lonely place? Oh, now I understand. You are actually trying to seduce me with your feminine charms. But that is impossible, because I am always surrounded by my suckers. Acha. And if you say, listen, forest ranger, every day we pick flowers in this forest, yet we have never seen a forest ranger like you before. And we also have never heard of your boss named Kandarparaj, so why are you so upset? If you say this, then I will say, oh, naive girl, you're right. Due to Kandarpa's confidence, I have never bothered to come here to make an inspection. Elsewhere I go and herd my cows, so therefore I never had a chance of catching you here, and thus you were able to plunder this forest. It is good that now I have caught you. Now in a king's interest I shall pinch you with my nails, and I will take you to Kandarpa's court to show you the king whom you claim to have never heard of. If you say, we thought this forest belongs to everyone, I will reply, hey, Sundari, what are you saying? I do not have the power to release you. Do you know that all the residents of the forest, both moving and immobile, are upset by your conduct? They have complained to Kandarparaj, and in a fury he ordered me to immediately arrest you and punish you according to the tenets of the Shastras. Hey, Sundari, you might say that Vrindavan is very small. This King Kandarparaj has no body, and the opulence of this area is merely grass that grows here. But if you ask me who are Kandarparaj's subjects, then I shall reply, his subjects are all the beautiful chaste women in the world. Listen, Radhe. Your body is a thief that steals every beautiful object in the forest. Listen, let me explain. The beauty of the newly growing grass and the lotus flower were completely destroyed and uprooted by your hand palms and foot soles. Your fingernails extract the gleam of a mirror. Your graceful gait captures the charming movements of the intoxicated elephants and swans. The beautiful shape of your legs robs the elegance of golden banana trees and the trunks of baby elephants. Your delightful knees steal the wealth of Vrindavan's golden treasure chest. Your beautiful Nitamba seizes Cupid's chariot and cushioned seat. Your slender waist steals the waist of the forest lioness, and your deep, beautiful navel drains all the nectar from the lakes in Vrindavan. The thin line of hairs descending from your navel mocks the sleekness of black serpents, and your beautiful belly defies the shapeliness of a banyan leaf. Your chest destroys the symmetry of Cupid's bedstead, and your raised breasts steal the beauty of golden lotus buds, bale fruits, palm fruits, and the temples of elephants. Your arms defeat the grace of lotus stems and Kandarpa's noose. The palms of your hand reap the redness of Ashok flowers, and the champak petals of your fingers reduce the power of Ratipati, the husband of Rati, Cupid. The radiance of your chin reduces the glittering of lightning. The fine curly hairs hanging over your cheeks capture the charm of swarming bees. Your glimmering teeth eclipse the elegance of a row of pearls. O Radha, your bodily luster conquers the brightness of gold, Goruchan, and Haridala. Your shapely nose defies the curve of a parrot's beak, and your mellifluous voice stifles the gaiety of cooing cuckoos. Your dance defeats the pride of peacocks. Your roving eyes conquer the restlessness of honeybees and minnows swimming in a lake. The thirsty look of your eyes captures the chakoras, and their loving glance attracts the deer, and the darting movements of your eyes enthrall the hummingbirds, Kanjana, Bakshi. Furthermore, your beautiful eyes defeat the splendor of blue lotus flowers. Your pearly white teeth pale the whiteness of the winter's kunda flowers, and the bottom of your feet robs the redness of red lotuses. Your eyebrows have stolen Kandarpa's bow, and when your eyebrows combine with your glances, they snatch his arrows too. Your lips deplete the bright red color of the Jaba flowers, and when you chew pan, your teeth reflect the red of pomegranate seeds. Your lovely neck consumes the contours of the conch shell. The three lines on your belly capture the charm of the Yamuna's waves. Who could possibly list all the other innumerable forest denizens who have been robbed of their opulences by the thief of your magnificent bodily limbs? Aha! Even now, they are aimlessly wandering in search of you, that great thief. Radha drinks the witty speech of Krishna as a shower of nectar for her ears. However, Priyaji hides her ecstatic emotions, smiles gently, and says, "What beautiful lover would listen to the exaggerated ramblings of a lusty man? I am leaving." Ignoring Krishna with pride and indifference, Radhika quickly moves ahead with a haughty pace. But Krishna dashes forward, grabs the border of Radha's veil, and says, "Oh, cunning one, ignoring me, where do you think you're going so fast?" At that moment, Radha's divine form flushes with various ecstatic symptoms from the touch of Sri Krishna's hand. Tilting her head, Srimati Radharani casts a sharp glance to divert Krishna's attention. Who can possibly describe the sweetness of Sri Radha's glance at this moment? Srimati's glance soars like a honeybee on a crooked course to land upon Krishna's lotus face. When Krishna pulls Radha's garments, her eyes turn angry red and slowly release a few tears. Then a mysterious slight smile rises amidst of all of Radha's other emotions to submerge Shyam in an ocean of bliss. Blinded with desire, Radha pulls her veil away from Krishna's grasp. Radha's stinging glances then shower Krishna with Kandarpa's arrows as she says, "Hey Krishna, you call us thieves, but are you some type of sadhu? Listen, the sweetness of your body steals the charm of every beautiful object within the spiritual and material worlds. What more can I say?" The virgin gopis, Kanyakumaris, who bathe in the Yamuna, can testify to your saintly character and steadiness in Dharma. Why did they have to pray to you with hands folded above their heads for the return of their clothing? Hey, Krishna, in Braj, there are many young girls suitable for marriage, and you are the dashing young son of a king and adorned with many virtuous qualities. However, we can understand that you never married because, actually, you are a debauch, and no decent girl, therefore, wants to marry you. So, out of frustration, you have adopted the guise of a sadhu, a brahmachari. But we know that your mind is always agitated, just like a horse upon seeing a mare. Therefore, we will honor you as a, quote, pseudo-brahmachari. Hey Krishna, if you are really a sadhu brahmachari, then why do you curiously glance at young married girls? And why do you allure them into the forest with your enchanting flute songs? Isn't your brahmachari dress actually meant only for selfish purposes? Otherwise, why would you initiate yourself into a mantra that destroys the vow of chastity of every young woman? What a joke! You never planted even a single flower, vine, or tree sapling in this forest, yet you claim to be its proprietor. Moreover, just see, your cows uproot and trample down the grass, flowers, vines, and everything else growing here. Still, you claim to be the protector of the forest? Within this matchless abode is my kund, Shri Kund, and its forest banks. There I sit upon a throne named Kantavarta, Sudaduk. And I reign supreme in the pleasure kunj known as Kam Sharmada. In this beautiful place, which is totally inaccessible to men, I relish descriptions of my lover from the lips of my dearest sakis. So why do you try to stop us when we come here to pick flowers for Surya Puja? Since you are claiming others' property to be your own, it is obvious that your lady love named Laja, shyness, has completely abandoned you. Hey, brahmachari, this flower garden is actually especially meant for ladies only. So what business do you have here? Go now, join your friends, and run along with your animals. Responding to Radha's words, Krishna looks at her with a slightly crooked, mild smile that aligns with his restless Chakora eyes. The playful gestures illuminating Radhika's moon-like face fill Krishna with inconceivable pleasure. Meanwhile, the Chakora eyes of all the Sakis are delighting in this darshan of the divine couple. Unlike the waning moon in the sky, the beautiful moon-like face of Srimati Radharani always nourishes Sri Krishna with graceful moonbeam smiles. It is the playground for her restless doe-like eyes. Krishna's Chakora eyes also relish newer and newer happiness when Radhika displays her joking facial expressions. Seeing Krishna's enrapture with Radha's beauty and bhav, the Sakis become overwhelmed. Pushpa Chorya Leela and proprietorship of the forest sum up.